this morning. He came in due time, and he's coming again in due time when the time is right. And so we celebrate and consider his first coming, but we certainly look forward to his next coming when he comes for us. Amen. Well, let's go back to Joshua tonight. And we're in the 11th chapter of Joshua. Now, in the 10th chapter of Joshua, we had a great victory. And I mentioned that last time that, you know, it looks like all these kings came against them and so on, but and they had a great victory, but the enemy doesn't give up. And in fact, more kings gather against them. But this is also a very good chapter. There's some good lessons in this chapter as well. I'm going to read a little bit. I may stop and comment along the way here. But Joshua chapter 11, starting in verse 1, "And it came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and the king of Akshaph, I'm not sure how that's pronounced, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains and of the plain south of Chinneroth, and in the valley and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Jebusite in the mountains, and the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their host with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel." I'm going to stop here for a minute, because this just a reminder here again. So Israel has been very successful. They've been victorious. Five kings came against them. They managed to be victorious there. And so now, after that, you would think, okay, well, this must, you know, this is probably good. The rest of them will kind of just give up and go away. But no, and this is a good reminder for us. The enemy doesn't just give up and go away in our lives. He comes again and again. And I was thinking about this particular scenario. Sometimes, you know, we gain a great victory in some part of our life, and then the enemy attacks us in a different part of our life. And this is what we see here. Those kings before were from down kind of below the bottom of the map that's not really showing. These kings are up from north of that part. So it's a different set of kings in a different area, if you will. And so it just reminded me that sometimes when we've gained a great victory in one area, when God has given us victory, then the enemy will come at us from a different place or from a different part of our lives. And so we need to be on the lookout. You know, we're told by Peter that we need to be on the lookout because our enemy is as a lion looking about to see who he can devour. And so we need to be aware. And part of that awareness, of course, is our study of God's word, to be reminded. We had a lot of thoughts this morning about being reminded and how important it is for us to be reminded about these things. And so as we study God's word, it reminds us over and over again the things that we need to know and to be reminded of, because our enemy comes against us. And this time, it says in verse 4 that they came out, it says, much people, says, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude. Now, I've never really seen this kind of thing. You know, we've seen large groups gather from time to time, different places for different reasons. But I don't think we've really seen something of this magnitude. If you've watched, if you ever saw the movies of the Lord of the Rings, they show some scenes there with some armies that kind of make it look like this. It just looks like they're forever and ever. Yeah. Oh my. Yeah. It's hard to imagine sometimes how many people, you know, can get together. But one of the things that when I saw this, I thought this would be very intimidating, because you look out and it's just people, as far, you know, not just people coming to fight against you, as far as you can see. It'd be very intimidating. And so I appreciated that verse 6, which we are getting ready to read now, which is this: "The Lord said unto Joshua, Be not afraid because of them. Now, throughout this book, we've come across this numerous times. And it reminds me, which is what we need to be, is reminded, that God is continually reminding us that he is on our side. So again, as we get into God's word, one of the things that we find there is we find that we get encouraged by the word about God being on our side. And so he says, don't be afraid because of them. God knew what that looked like. He knew what to the people of Israel, he knew what that group would look like coming against them. Multiple kings with all of their people set in array. And so he says, be not afraid of them. And notice this. He says, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow, about this time, will I deliver them up, all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hew their horses and burn their chariots with fire. Now, I think that, from the natural standpoint, if you looked out at that group of people and you would say, there's just no way that's going to happen. This is a big battle. And a lot of people, and my understanding is these kinds of battles could drag on for a long time because of so many people. And God says, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid because of them. He says, tomorrow, about this time, will I deliver them up, all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hew their horses and burn their chariots with fire. And this is the other thing, is that in that time frame, you have to understand the thought about horses and chariots in particular. Israel, by the way, didn't have horses. They were on foot. They knew about chariots because they had come out of Egypt, where chariots were, you know, in use a lot, and they understood the value of a chariot in these kinds of battles. They were they were game changers for these kinds of battles. The chariot was very deadly in these battles, and horses gave a huge advantage to the team that had those. When they had horses, that was a big deal. It was one of the things that Alexander the Great used so well. And then there were some, of course, that even used elephants, which are even bigger. But the horses are fast and they're strong, and they allow you to move very quickly against some that are not on horses. And so when God says this, this is great encouragement, because Joshua understands that the horses and the chariots are the strength of this army that's coming against them. And God says, that's okay, you're gonna hew their horses. That word there, to hew the horses, it has the thought of to completely destroy, so they're completely useless. And of course, burning the chariots, they obviously would be useless after that as well. And so the encouragement that God gives Joshua, this was my impression from this chapter so much, was, when we come to these battles and the enemy comes against us, and sometimes it appears that he's come with people like the sand of the sea. It just seems overwhelming. That's the idea, right, of that whole thought, is that it's overwhelming. And when the enemy comes like that, the Lord reminds us that he's on our side and he's going to give the victory. And even those horses and chariots are all going to be destroyed. And so verse 7 says, Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon and unto Misrepoth Maim, and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them until they left them none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hewed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. So the first thing out of verse 7 is faith. Faith, right? God said, I want to deliver them to you. But Joshua had to lay hold of that by faith, because the army was still standing out there. When Joshua came, the army was still there. And so Joshua had to move by faith. And it says, so Joshua came and all the people of war with him. And so they came because they had faith. And so we step out in faith in the battle against the enemy, not because we think we have him just where we want him and can overtake him, but because we know that God is on our side, and the victory that he has promised us. promised to give us. And so we go in faith, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but in faith about God's ability and what he has promised to do. And so it happened exactly that way. It says, the Lord delivered them. This is the other key thing that we've found numerous times already. The Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them into great Zidon. You know, it doesn't tell us here what God did, by the way. It doesn't tell us how he brought about this victory. In some cases, we're given some details about that where, you know, like Jericho, it tells us how that kind of came about. And in some cases, you know, we're given a little bit of detail about what God did. In this case, he doesn't tell us the details, and we don't always need to know the details. You know, sometimes God brings us victory, and we don't really even understand how exactly he did it. The victory comes, and we're just amazed to see the victory in front of us. And so we don't always need to know. That reminds me again of something that I heard, and I wrote it down because it stuck with me, but reason versus revelation. Sometimes we want to know the reason, and God really just wants to reveal himself in that situation. Well, God revealed himself here to these children of Israel because they were victorious over this mighty, very large army. Verse 10 of our chapter, Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded. And so he turns back to Hazor because Hazor had been the you might say the kind of overruling kingdom here out of all of these, which is why the king of Hazor, by the way, at the beginning of this chapter, is the one that goes and calls all the kings together, because he's kind of the top guy. And so he goes and calls all those kings together. And so Joshua turns back after they've been victorious over this mighty army. Joshua turns back because Hazor needs to be dealt with. And so they completely destroy Hazor, all that are in it, and everything that's there. They burn it to the ground, essentially. Verse 12, all the cities all the cities of those kings and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only, that did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves, but every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. Now, I found it interesting that they destroyed Hazor, but they left the other city standing. And one of the thoughts that came to me about this was Hazor being the kind of the chief city here, if you will, represented power, if you will, of the enemy. And they destroyed all of that. The other cities were just spoil for them. That is, they were... God gave it to them to have, and so it was just spoil for them. But that city that represented the power, if you will, of these kingdoms, it was destroyed completely. Verse 15, as the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. I appreciate this verse. The Lord commanded Moses, said Moses commanded Joshua, and he said, so did Joshua. In other words, he did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Appreciate Joshua's willingness and his obedience. And again, we have to remember that this, again, also goes by faith, because it took faith for Joshua to move forward against these armies and against these forces that were against him. And he did this by faith. And so he was able to be faithful and to be obedient because he believed God. And so also we can be obedient to our Lord, to his word, and it's also by faith because we trust and believe what he has said. That's the only way for us to be obedient and to be faithful to him, is because we by faith lay hold of what he has promised us. Verse 16, so Joshua took all that land, the hills and all the south country and all the land of Goshen and the valley and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the same, even from Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-gad in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. This is not a quick and easy thing. It doesn't tell us exactly how long all this was, but it was a long time. They fought. You know, the battle against the enemy, he's not, like I said before, he's not going away. He's not giving up. And so as we are here, we're going to find him coming against us. There's coming a day, by the way, when our victory will be complete, and we'll no longer have to fight this battle. But in the meantime, there is a battle that is going on, and we have a privilege of being on the side of the one who is always victorious. And all those kings, you know, all these kings, what they represent, when I think about this, one of the things they represent to me is all the things in our lives that want to rule in our lives that need to be brought into subjection to Jesus Christ. Because that's exactly what the problem is in our lives. There are things that want to rule in our lives, and all of those need to be brought into subjection. And it's an ongoing thing. We can't just say, well, I'm done now. I got it all taken care of. No, the enemy will still attack some part of your life, maybe some part you think that you just, you know, I don't need to deal with that. That one's already okay. But the enemy comes at you and we're reminded, hey, we have to let the Lord have the victory in this one as well and overtake this king as well, because we want him to be the one that rules. In verse 19, it says, there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them, as the Lord commanded Moses. See, God wants to take out all of the things that rule in our lives, that usurp, if you will, say it that way, I guess, are usurping the rule of our Lord Jesus Christ. He deserves complete and absolute rule in our lives. And all these other things, all these other kings, they are usurping and must be completely and utterly removed. And that is the work that God is doing in our lives. And that's also the battle that we're against as we go along. It was of the Lord to harden their hearts so that he could destroy them. You know, the Lord, I don't know why this came to me, but as I was reading that, I thought, you know, the Lord allows these things in our lives sometimes to pop up. I don't know if it's Arlene or Jack that always said, rear their ugly head, just so that we can realize that they're still there and they need to be dealt with. The Lord allows that to happen so that he can then bring us into an opportunity for victory again as we trust in him. In verse 21, it says, at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir and Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. And so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Now we're going to find out this thought about the land resting from war. We're going to find out that there's still more to be done, but there is a if you will, a temporary lull here in this, as we'll find out later. But the battle is ongoing, and the problem that we often have is sometimes we come to Hazor and we fail to burn it to the ground. We want to do like Achan did there in Jericho and take some of the best of it. Let's keep that good stuff. You know, the best of the old nature, let's keep some of that. Well, there's still nothing good in the old nature, is there? And so it has to be dealt with, you know, and it's an ongoing battle for us. We're not we're not perfected yet. We're not complete yet. God is still working on us. If he wasn't, we wouldn't be here anymore. You know, there's a day coming, a day of rest, a day of finishing of this battle. But in the meantime, God encourages us. And I appreciate in this chapter the encouragement that we get just along with Joshua. And that is, don't be afraid because of them. Don't fear. So many people will say, oh, that part, you know, that thing in my life, I'm just never going to be able to deal with that. I'm never going to be able to handle that. That's just never going to, it's always going to be that way. And the Lord wants to remind us, hey, don't be afraid. I'm on your side. I'm the one that gives the victory. It's true that if it was up to us, there are many things in our lives that we wouldn't be able to deal with. We wouldn't be able to have victory over certain areas of our life because we're just not able to. But with the Lord, you know, he promises tomorrow about this time, he says, I will deliver them up, all slain before Israel. And the hewing of the horses, I want to just talk about that a little bit here because this thought, you know, it seems silly, by the way, and I think about this, and I know that any army kind of person or you know, person knows about fighting would say that, well, this was just silly. Why would you do this to the horses? That's your strength. You keep the horses and you become stronger. So why did God want them to destroy all the horses and the chariots? Well, one of the problems that Israel came up against later was they came to a place where they began to trust in horses and chariots. And you know, the Lord wants us to trust in him. You know, sometimes we want to lay hold of something out of the world, something that we think this is a great advantage for me, you know, this philosophy or this, whatever it is, something that we grab hold of out of the world and we say, man, that, you know, that works for the world. And so I'm going to grab that because that's a great strength. And the Lord says, no, that needs to go as well. What he wanted was for his people to look to him. To recognize, see, eventually, if they'd have gathered enough horses and enough chariots, eventually they would have begun to think, hey, we're capable of doing our own battle here, right? And that's when the problems come, and that's what happens to us sometimes. We get the same way. I mean, all these things are written for our admonition, for our learning, because we sometimes will get the same way. We say, oh, I've got the tools I need now to deal with this on my own. And the Lord wants to remind us, no. You always come to me. I'm the one that gives the victory. All of these victories, they all came from the Lord, and they were all victories in circumstances where they shouldn't have been. There's no reason this army with all of its horses and chariots should not have overrun Israel. Again, I don't know what God did here. I don't know the details, and I don't need to. But what I do know is that God gave the victory. That's what we need to know. It should not have been so. The armies, again, with all their horses, there's no reason they should not have prevailed. They absolutely should have prevailed. And by all of man's thinking, I'm sure that those kings looked at their army and all their horses and chariots and said, we're good to go. We're going to beat these guys because they've got nothing. But they had the Lord. And you know, the enemy comes against us sometimes and he wants to defeat us. And he might get a little cocky sometimes too, saying, thinking he has what he needs. The only way we're going to be victorious is by faith in our Lord. To trust him to bring the victory. Because if we get all full of ourselves because of something, then we're also going to find ourselves losing. And so, even though this just seemed very strange by any account of man, you would not do this. They indeed did destroy all the horses and all of the chariots. And God had warned them back in Deuteronomy about when they had a king that he should not amass to himself horses and chariots. God knew what he was talking about. You know, how much better to listen to the Lord up front and know, you know, he knows what he's talking about. And so when he tells us, don't go get those things to yourself that you think make you strong. Come to me. Trust in me. And the one that will bring you the victory. He says, about this time tomorrow, about this time tomorrow, I will deliver them up in front of you. And so we have to be reminded about this because Our old nature wants to take over. We have to be reminded. This is why this is in the scripture. This isn't in the scripture so that we can just read these fun stories and enjoy some interesting stories. This is here so that we can learn something about our own spiritual lives and what God wants to do for us and what he will do if we'll just trust in him. And so we as well can have the victory over these kings that have come against us, no matter how overwhelming they seem to be. God gives us the victory. I'm going to quit tonight. Any questions or comments tonight? Yes.